everybody, welcome to your Thursday, May 16th Jumpcast, the only manga podcast not to be investigated for tax fraud. Joining me this week are Mike Lemieux and Robin Van Gilder.
Hello!
Can we make that claim?
So far. I don't know what I've done to piss off Obama, so he might do it?
Do we have any income?
Obama was a huge fan of...
Hungry Joker?
Yes. And Kiruko, and he is just... This is his worst week of the year.
Kiruko got canceled.
Yeah, too bad.
As some of us predicted,
Barrage,
the cross-manager still lives. Nobody liked Barrage at the end.
That was going to be the joke. I couldn't pull the name. I'd forgotten it.
We were all hyped about that manga. Like, oh, Shonen Jump Alpha picked it up. This is going to be huge.
It was going to be the thing that we followed from the beginning and was awesome.
Yeah.
It would be our generation's touchstone manga.
We had Assassination Classroom sitting right there.
Assassination Classroom came a few weeks later, and I think we were cynical about that at first.
Hey, I was reading that from the beginning. I don't know.
No, we were all reading it, but it was like, this might be good, it might not. And it turned out awesome.
Yeah, it's really popular, too, so.
Yeah. But Kuruko's dead, and despite the fact that the Tankobons were selling pretty decently.
I think,
I guess.
It might have another life in some other manga. If they were that good.
Shueisui has like 9 shonen manga things?
Yes.
I think I'm just sticking one of those.
Put it in the one that To Love Rue Darkness is in. That'll get some more readers.
There was something you wanted to... Somebody wanted to say something about that. Oh, that you guys were talking, batting that around for Romance Cast.
Yeah.
Yeah. We didn't actually end up talking about that, did we?
No.
Someday we need to go through the actual... for people who don't know it, the actual story of how To Love Rue ended.
I think...
Like, not the story, but the reasons.
Save it for the next Romance Cast.
Yeah.
It's too extreme for the regular show.
It's a hell of a story.
It's really depressing.
Yeah.
Makes me glad that guy bounced back and has a... It's still going.
Well, I kind of took it as more of a sign of desperation. Like, oh god, I need something.
Yeah.
This needs to go in. All right. So, let's start with Beelzebub.
All right.
That's where we usually start.
Wherein Furuichi has been kidnapped by Himikawa.
Again.
Again, this is the second time.
Yeah.
Yep.
He did it to lure Oga in the first time, too.
Yep.
Yep.
He's not, he doesn't come up with very many unique plans.
Yeah, isn't he their tactician?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So tactician versus tactician. And Furuichi vaguely remembers reading comics at the store, and he thought he saw a Kagebushi in Himikawa.
He was suddenly surrounded by pompadours.
I love the Hime boys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we explained that joke last week.
I know, but they're awesome.
Yes.
Yes.
I want them to continue even after Himekawa comes back as a good guy.
Yeah.
Another Naruto reference. Then they have the former angel, our fallen angel number 3, Busujima Isami.
Yeah.
So he didn't just get knocked down to number 4 or something, he just got kicked out completely.
Yeah. I guess you can only have so many.
Maybe.
Is it me, or does he remind you a lot of that other guy?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
The
pig
Kanzaki's group. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the scarf on his face.
Guy?
I don't know. He's around. He was playing badminton last week, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's part of Oga's group. I'm just saying. He looks a lot like him.
Yeah, except he has spiky hair and face mask thing.
Yeah.
Which, if you took out his pigtails and made them floof, that's what they'd look like.
Yeah.
So maybe there's a thing there, but I doubt it. So the observer from last week pipes up, the tuxedo mask, and does not throw things.
Missed opportunity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's talking to Himikawa, and he's saying things like, you know, I gave you this power, but I'm just here to observe. That it's demon power. In front of which he puts 2 and 2 together pretty quickly.
Yeah.
That, oh, that must be like the guy Tilda went after. And Isami says he wants to know why Oga thinks Furuichi is his partner. Because he must be super strong, if that's the case.
Yeah, he's gotta be.
So he demands they untie Furuichi, and so they can fight, and Himikawa accepts this deal.
I bet this will go great for Furuichi.
Well, immediately after that, they cut to Oga reading manga.
Yeah, and
which I don't know if that's a reference to anything in particular, but
it kind of looks like, I don't know, Naruto, but then there's a bald guy.
Yeah, I thought Dragon Ball.
Yeah.
It might just be, yeah, generic manga looking stuff.
Yeah. And looks Furuichi's like... sister is on the phone with Oga.
Who hilariously looks exactly like Furuichi.
Yeah. I didn't notice that.
She does.
And Furuichi did not come home after going to get pudding. And the next page is a fairly graphic and yet artistically nice spread of Furuichi's laid out with blood covering the floor.
And blood dripping off of the guy's fists.
Yeah. Furuichi got the shit beaten out of him.
And we find out he doesn't have the king's crest.
Yeah. Unlike, and Oga must be a shit king if, you know, even his best friend doesn't get one. But Takamiya just says it doesn't matter. They just want to bring Oga there.
And Furuichi comes face to face with Takamiya on the floor.
Yeah.
Gets a good look at him.
Well, he doesn't really get it. He gets a look at him from the side or something. Have we seen Takamiya's face?
We saw it last week. He was all sickly looking.
Yeah.
Okay.
We've seen his
I didn't
whole
know
face.
If he was like...
I don't know why he's like hiding it here, but...
Yeah. But it's like Furuichi explicitly does not get a look at his face.
He does.
Does he?
He does.
Yeah, bottom one of that page. There, he's when he says, who cares, he's standing staring at Furuichi, and Furuichi's looking at him in the face.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Okay, never mind.
But then Takamiya leaves...
Yeah, I do find it super weird.
Don't
see his face.
He's like standing in the shadows, and they just specifically do not show his face. I kind of wonder what's up with that.
It's weird.
Anyway.
So, yeah, Furuichi is listening to Himikawa and the Observer talk, and he's putting it together that the Observer is part of the Solomon Company, which has not been mentioned in many a moon.
Man, when was that mentioned?
That was when Oga or Beals' mother.
Yeah,
that painting.
Picture. Oh, right.
It wasn't
right.
that long ago.
It was a while
that was a
ago.
A while ago.
Also,
at least 15 weeks.
That it was like before the Sega of Furuichi. Remember?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, because they got the actual tissues from there.
Yep. That's what saves him.
Also, it confirms that, what's his name? Udaga something?
Udagawa.
Udagawa is, if not the same person from. Nasu's fight is a similar, like, demon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's the same person.
It could... I mean, the hairstyle's close enough.
Yeah. And they're clearly disguising themselves for a reason. Maybe I'm just reading too much into it, but... Furuichi, since he was cut loose to get beaten up on, decided to run the hell away. Where he meets up with an old guy teenager.
Yes.
Yes.
Bull.
Yeah. Who stops him and seems to throw him to the ground.
Tackle him.
Yeah, when Isami comes back to bust on Furuichi for such a stupid plan. And then you see that Bull has fallen to the floor and he's bleeding from the eyes. And the nose.
Is he dead?
I don't know, Furuichi slammed him with such force that apparently blood is coming from him.
Indeed.
And then you see that Furuichi has put the tissues back into his nose.
Yes.
Yes. And he has the power of, which one is that? Jabberwock.
That's Jabberwock, yeah.
What, this
guy? Oga's rival.
Yeah.
What, the one
I'm pretty sure,
up?
Yeah.
No, that's not Jabberwocky.
Isn't
that
it?
Is?
No.
Who is
no.
it?
No. Jabberwocky has like a big square jaw and like a giant guy with short hair.
But what? He also has those fin eyes.
Yeah, this is like the first guy that showed up out of Behemoth's army.
What? I don't remember.
I'm going to go do some name searching. You guys keep talking.
I'm looking it up. It looks kind of... Okay, Jabberwock doesn't have that kind of hair.
No.
Oh, okay.
It's a totally different person.
But he does have the fish ears.
Yeah. Because they're demons.
Yeah. All of Jabberwock's people had the...
This is the guy that had the lance, if you'll remember.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember his name.
Yeah. Either way, he mentions that he'll gladly help Furuichi because they have beef with these guys too. Which does make it seem like they're not a pro kingdom or current lineage group.
Yeah.
They're not part of N's group or anything.
Yeah, it sounds like there's some sort of independent thing in the demon world. Which makes sense.
I'm guessing revolutionaries of some sort.
Well, it's a corporation, so.
Well, that's how they're there on Earth.
Yeah, I guess.
But it seems like they're out to get Beale and Oga specifically, so I don't know how that would make them money.
Yeah.
Yay, Furuichi's back, our badass Furuichi.
Hooray!
I'm so glad the Age of Furuichi never ended.
It's only just begun. Or will end very soon. One of the two.
Probably next chapter.
I'm going to guess that he does get the crest at some point in this battle. And that does aid him in victory.
That would be a good twist.
Because, I mean, he is their tactician. That's basically what everyone refers to him as.
Okay, that guy's name is Hecadoth.
Hecadoth?
Oh, yeah. He was one of Furuichi's demons before, right?
Yeah, awesome. He was one of the ones he summoned before.
Yeah.
He might have been the guy that we also got confused for Jamwaki earlier. Like, in the first Age of Furuichi.
And I was right, he is the dude with the spear.
Eh. So. Whatever, as long as we get to see Furuichi bust some heads.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love this final page. Furuichi is pissed, too.
Yeah.
He is. Well, he did get beat up pretty bad.
Yeah.
Those tissues are soaked.
I wonder if the intention was to make Furuichi do this?
Nah,
I don't think so.
You're thinking of Himekawa's long con in this?
Yeah, because he was for this idea of, like, why would he just let someone beat Furuichi up?
I have a feeling it's
that doesn't get Oga there faster.
I have a feeling it's going to be one of those jokes of later of like, oh, so you knew I had those the whole time, and Himekawa's going to be like, had what?
Well, that other person, is that a girl?
With the one with the hat?
Yeah,
the one that kind of looks like Kilda.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe.
They don't really show her face either, or his. But that's mostly because...
Oh, wait, no. No. The second to last page, that's the demon he summoned talking. I thought it was her for some reason. Never mind.
Yeah, but that is kind of curious that they don't show her face.
Yeah.
Maybe he or she is just so unimportant that it doesn't matter.
I think it's a girl. The name's Rayon. R-E-O-N. Yeah.
That is a girl's name?
Yes. So.
Okay. Anyway. Good chapter.
Yeah.
Yep. Thoughts, predictions?
Furuichi's going to bust some heads.
Definitely going to bust some heads. But I bet he won't beat Himekawa.
Well, I wonder if he's going to, like, really try to fight too many of them or just take out these guys and run. Because he wants to get this information to Oga.
Oh, yeah. Probably.
And presumably to Hilda, who likely knows more about what's going on.
who would take that information, do something useful with it. Oga would probably just update his playing cards.
See, I'm assuming that Furuichi's going to bust some heads until he reaches his limit, and then he's going to have to, like, consider putting in, like, the last tissues.
What was it?
The ones that would kill him.
Yeah, the tissues were killing him, right?
Yeah.
But, like, not anymore.
Yeah.
He didn't use him for a while.
Like, Oga's going to bust in and save him.
He reset his tolerance. He stopped using him for a while, so now...
Yeah.
I think, wasn't it sort of implied that, like, sheer force of will is why it didn't kill him the first time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope these just stay around as, like, a sometimes thing for Furuichi to be badass.
Yeah. It's good that they brought it back now and not before.
Yeah.
Yeah. Enough time has passed.
Yes. All right.
All right.
We're all agreed Beelzebub is good.
You guys are so racist with demons.
Yeah, off from Beelzebub on to Nisekoi.
Which one are we going
to
talk about first? The half chapter or the full chapter?
All right, see you later.
Bye.
I guess we'll talk about the half chapter, because that's the grossest one.
What do you mean gross?
Gross from a more principled perspective, I suppose.
You knew
this was
coming.
The advertised Sugumi Chitoge bath scene.
Yeah. And it was two pages long.
It's weird because if this was their intent to titillate, he didn't really do a good job.
I don't know. There is a lot of Sugumi cleavage. That's about
I mean, yeah, but a lot of this is just them running around in super deformed forms.
Yeah.
And freaking out and saying, hey, I can walk on water. And being kind of teenage girls-ish about it.
Yeah, it's a normal bathhouse chapter. There's really not much to talk about except they're naked and they just do silly stuff.
And then the cover image for the actual chapter is a little on the nose as well.
What?
Chitoge in bloomers and a gym shirt that's flying up.
Yeah. Well, what? She's running. What? What's
she supposed to do? She's running in this chapter, too, and she's not wearing that.
Isn't she?
No.
Oh, that's right. They're wearing, like, the winter outfits.
Tracksuits, yeah. So, Raku, when we last left him, was way behind and fell into a trap, but had a second wind.
Now he's, like, demon mode Raku.
It's the Raku split, I think?
Is that what it's
called? Or is that the wall that's to keep him behind?
I don't know.
It was oddly confusing.
Oh, the Raku shift. Yeah, I think that's the movement to make a wall that he can't get through. That he runs through.
He just busted through, and they try to actually then plan to trip him, but then discover that all the food that Tachibana gave them was food poisoned, I guess.
Or laxatives of some kind.
Yeah. And Miyamoto has been leading boys off into odd directions so Raku can't get through.
I really do love Tachibana's panel when they realize what she did. Of just evil smirk.
That's mostly what she does. The smirk in inappropriate situations. So Raku's about to, you know, completely collapse when Onodera says she'll be cheering for him.
Gives him some water.
Yes. And then he gets his second wind.
He doesn't even drink the water. He just leaves.
See, the Chu's biggest trump card is to leave a box of kittens on the side of the road that Raku has to pick up because the kittens need their family.
And he continues running, holding the box of kittens.
But slows down dramatically. And Chitoge appears next to him, saying she's been there the entire time. And to just give the box of kittens to her so she can, or Raku can go get that kiss pass. And Raku explains that he only wants it because he doesn't want any of the girls to feel like they're getting a kiss unwantedly.
Oh, what a hero.
Yep. Yep. So Raku says, wouldn't you not want a kiss with someone you don't like?
And then
Chitoge slaps him.
She gets all tsundere.
Yes, as she does.
It's not like I'd want you to kiss me, idiot.
And Raku finally catches up to Shu, who's like, good job you made it this far. I knew you could do it.
I do love that Shu's direct lackeys both get shot in the head by Sugumi.
And Shu and Raku both sprint to the end, and Chitoge screams, darling, go. Which nobody seems to notice or pay attention to. And Raku makes it past the finish line.
Yes.
And wins the kiss pass.
Which gives him a free pass to kiss anything he wants in the petting zoo.
Yes. All of them have bows, though. So it's not gay.
It's Pac-Man rules. That's how you know it's a girl. It's wearing a bow.
Yep.
Even that rooster's wearing a bow. What?
Also the snake. But only one of the rabbits. You know. So he has options.
I think you get all the rabbits if you choose the rabbit.
Ah. In terms of value, that's probably the best kiss then.
Yeah.
Go Raku. And so Raku's drinking some soda or something, and he gets called over by Onodera and gives his soda to Chitoge.
And she gets an indirect kiss off of it.
Yes.
Which is a thing I've only ever heard of in manga, ever.
Yeah. I don't know if that's a big thing in Japanese high schools or something.
We share drinks in school all the time, among guys and girls, with no weirdness.
But apparently it's a big deal in Japanese romance manga.
Yeah. Sure. And then, whatever, she gets her little victory.
Then everyone beats up Shu.
She doesn't seem to mind too much.
Yes. I mean, they didn't win a kiss pass either.
Shu was very affable.
Yes. But yeah, this is Bog Standard Nisekoi. This is what it does. Which, I mean, romance manga. It has no forward momentum, nor does it necessarily need it.
Yeah.
I guess.
This was a funny little arc.
Yes.
It was even pretty clever, as far as romance manga goes.
I feel bothered by the fact that nobody heard Chitoge's confession.
Well, they're fake going out, so it's normal for her to yell that.
But wouldn't Onodera have known? Wouldn't she have seen some issue with it? Yeah.
Yeah, sure. You got me anyway. There. You nailed me.
Anyway, Chitoge and Tsugumi in a bath. I mean, marathons.
Yeah, marathon. Yeah, okay. Animals with bow ties.
Yes. That was a cute part. It was the stupidest possible way they could deal with this, but it was a stupid situation in the first place.
She totally did the Aizen thing of nobody said it was a girl in the class. It's like, I'm pretty sure they did. Wasn't like the specific wording of like, you get a kiss from any girl in the class?
Nobody ever said there were 10 girls in the class.
Nobody ever said the girls were numbered from 1 to 10.
Except for that one guy who said in 1500 letter, Tachibana.
I guess she does say on any girl of your choice. But then tells all the girls in the class that they can kiss the boys on the cheek. So, pretty big misdirection there, Naoshi.
Yeah.
Not calling him a hack, but, you know.
I'll say it. Kind of a hack. Next week, exploding handcuffs.
More exploding handcuffs.
This time, two sets that react harder.
And this time it's Onodera and Chitoge handcuffed together. Anyway, Bleach.
Yeah. Robin, you can come back now.
Yeah,
does he know that?
I don't know. We're fine. Let's just keep going.
So, Bleach was... going back to the story of Ichigo's mother dying.
It was a good chapter this week, but it was kind of info-dumpy.
It's telling a story I don't think I needed to know. For the further story to go for it. Like, for the Quincy arc to continue on, I don't think this information mattered that much.
It gives Ichigo some drive. Though I do have issues with the specifics of it being a little silly. So she's a Quincy. Hollow should not be able to hurt her. She gets killed by one. How is that possible?
Because they apparently all have a built-in defense that all pure-blood Quincys have called Bloot.
Yes.
The Blut Vene,
Ichigo used at the end of his fight with Giovanni.
So this is my problem with that. That pure blood Quincy's can use it.
Uh-huh.
But if you're not a pure blood Quincy, you have to do some actual training and, you know, generally be aware of it, that it exists.
But Ichigo is just that badass.
But they specifically say, they outline the only ways it's natural.
Nobody ever said that only pureblood Quincy's could use it.
But they did. They strictly said they did. And like, for someone who's so concerned about how making everything fit. Anyway, she's supposed to use Blut Vene.
And doesn't.
And yeah. Ishin thought, nah, it's not a big deal. She apparently has magic Gaara powers.
Yeah, and then he begins to tell the story of the King of Quincy's.
Yeah, which is... what?
So, like... So Juhabak was sealed 999 years ago. And at the 990th year, which would be 9 years before the start of the series, when Ichigo's mother died, he absorbed all the powers of the Quincy's. Which would mean he would have had to absorb that at the exact second that Misaki was trying to use it to fight Grand Fisher. Which is the problem I have with that.
Yeah, that's stupid. Like, why? Why that exact second?
Maybe it's something that the stealing of powers did not occur until they attempted to use them. You know, like, it popped up on his GPS whenever they...
Notification alert.
Yeah. Also through this, we get confirmation that Katagiri was Ishida's mother.
Yeah.
All right, I'm back.
Hi,
we've been talking about Bleach for a few minutes.
Oh, darn.
We're at the part where his mom dies.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Didn't you need all that information, Robin? It wasn't just good enough before that she just died. Now you need reasons.
Well, now that we know that she's a Quincy, yeah, you kind of do need reasons.
It did seem a little silly that she would die to some random hollow.
Yeah. Especially, well, we really needed reasons since we found out that his dad was a Shinigami. He's apparently very powerful.
I love that his was just like, she's fine, whatever.
Yeah, she can handle it better than I can.
I needed better reasons than Order 66.
How shitty must Ishin have felt? Like, oh, oops.
Well, he tries to hedge his bets a little bit by saying, oh, it didn't, I probably couldn't have helped that much.
Yeah. Which, well, he did kind of lose his powers, didn't he? So that makes sense.
He could have gotten them away from there pretty easily, I think.
I think he would have rather died than the mother of his children.
Yeah, yeah. That's true.
But that...
wasn't Grand Fisher's whole thing that he, like, came out of nowhere and surprised them or something?
Yeah, he had the fishing lure thing.
Yeah.
But, I mean, so he assumes that she can save herself. Why not go there? Because, you know, they kind of have an infant son.
Well,
with them at the riverbank.
She can save the sun, too. She has the strongest defensive skill of the Quincy's, so...
I think the thing is, Grand Fisher was just, like, a bog-standard hollow.
Yeah.
Like, lowest tier, she could flick him with her finger and kill him. If she had any powers.
But suddenly, she didn't.
Yes.
So was that supposed to be, like, that very night was the
same
time?
See, that's what I'm saying. I wonder if, like, using the powers is what caused it. You know, like, as soon as she called upon her powers, Bacht was made aware of her and took them.
You mean Ivach?
Yharbach?
His god name?
Ivach?
Anyway.
Whatever.
So,
yeah.
So, Eisen 2, this time it's personal.
Yeah, pretty much. And
Bacht 2.
So, considering that she was, like... So she was a full-blooded Quincy, right?
Yes.
But Ishida's mom wasn't.
No.
And that's why she lost her powers.
But
she lost her powers and then just sort of died.
Well, she was sickly anyway, and I think the shock of losing her powers pushed her over the edge.
Right, so why did Ichigo's mom lose her powers if she was a full-blooded Quincy?
I think he took, like, all the Quincy powers, which...
Except for Ishida and his dad's?
Yeah, and also, weren't all the Quincy's killed?
I
think he was just trying to lay off Quincy's.
Yeah, what the hell? I thought all the Quincy's were dead, but now there's apparently a ton of them.
Sasaki, like, what do you even do here?
Ishida and his grandpa were like last ones. And his grandpa had his powers less than 9 years ago. It doesn't...
Yeah.
And Ishida's always had his powers.
If there's like some sort of crazy Quincy king out there that he knew about... Who's apparently been reviving himself.
I mean, I'll buy that his dad was a Quincy and was just kind of a dick about it.
Yeah.
But that, they missed, like, dozens and dozens of Quincys who all just got killed anyway.
There were enough Quincys that he could, like, suck the power out of most of them, and then there'd still be enough left for his, like, special army that he's using to destroy Soul Society.
Wait, he was absorbing the powers to power his army?
Yeah.
Himself and his army.
The
yeah.
Quincy's were basically Duracells. He was...
My interpretation was way better.
What's that?
Because I thought that he was absorbing the powers so the Shinigami would just kill all the Quincy, and then he'd get all these... He'd revitalize his army that way.
Oh, no.
That was the whole thing with the Quincy Holocaust, which may or may not have happened now, was like way earlier than this.
Yeah, that was like... Ishida's grandpa was younger at that point.
Yeah.
I think, well, remember, Masaki and Ishida's dad were, like, hooking up because of the Holocaust. Because there were
right.
so
few
Quincy
right.
left.
But I thought the Shinigami captured his grandfather when he had already taught Ishida what he knew.
No.
No, his grandpa just died.
Oh.
Yeah.
Then who was it that Kurotsuchi captured?
Yeah, but because he went to the afterlife or something. I don't know.
Oh. I don't know.
But...
I don't know how the Soul Society works. It's so...
Yeah.
So is Yuha Bak dead?
Just remember that when you die, you might go and live in poverty in medieval Japan.
You might also turn into a baby, or you might just be the same person.
And you might just get eaten by other ghosts.
You might remember who your family is, but they might not remember you.
Also, you might age, or you might just stay a young, handsome person forever.
Also, you could die for like 6 weeks and then get better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, you can die as a ghost, and where do you go? Is there, like, a soul society? Society?
Soul Reapers who reap Soul Reapers?
Yeah, the afterlife is the mess.
Bleach 2.
The Soul Reaper Reapers come through a portal and say, Ichigo, we need your help. It's about your kids.
Something has to be done about them. Turns out they're part Quincy.
Ichigo and Ishida have quick glances at each other.
The other big revelation in this chapter is that all the Quincy's are the sons of Ivach.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's supposed to be that literal.
I think it is that literal.
I think he's the original Quincy, and he has evolved past being a person at this point.
Right.
He's more like a force of nature.
He has some sort of special powers, which is where all the Quincy's get their powers.
He is the giant Green Lantern to the Green Lanterns.
Right.
Whatever that big one's called, I don't know.
Man, remember Lloyd Roy?
Yeah.
God. That was so dumb.
So that was his kid, essentially.
Okay, so the actual big revelation this chapter is Smithers comes back.
White-haired guy?
He was there.
Hushvolt.
Hushvolt, yes.
And then they introduce the Prince of Light.
Yes.
Which is Ishida Uryu.
Wearing
his crazy Nazi outfit.
His SS uniform.
SS outfit. That's what it is. You can't... God.
This is what he went to Germany for.
It's a fashion. I was studying the fashion in the museums.
Yeah.
It's just like a frilly SS outfit with like more gaudiness to it.
No, it's just an SS outfit, except it doesn't have the S's on it.
Look at the belt. It's all fancy.
Oh, I guess it has, some extra little stuff on it. It
has some zazz.
And it has like stars all over it. Instead of eagles, but otherwise, it's like, that's it.
It still has, like, eagle claws on the lapel.
Yeah.
So, if this arc is essentially about Ichigo versus Ishida, I extra super duper don't care about that.
Yeah, I know. That hasn't been a thing since, like, the very first, like, arc.
Yeah, he's not Ichigo's Vegeta or his Sasuke or anything. There's no, like... mounting tension between them. As far as I remember, they've been best friends for a while.
So like,
when Uryu first showed up and they were like having that contest to see who could kill more Hollows? That was the last time they were rivals.
Well, there's the thing at the start of every arc where Ishida's like, I'm not going to help you. Okay, this is the last time, but then I'm going to kill you. And then they're just like super bros for the whole arc and it never comes up.
Yeah. It's, I don't know.
This is basically like, if Vegeta punched Goku once, and then they went on, like, 20 adventures together, and then it went like, okay, now I'm gonna kill you.
Now, this would be like...
It's like if suddenly Yamcha turned out to be the bad guy.
I was gonna say Krillin, but you're just much more insulting.
Yamcha is way better. Although I think Chad is Yamcha.
Yeah. Chad
pretty
is
much.
More Yamcha. God, so dumb. So terrible.
Yeah, Ishida's a Nazi.
I mean, like, you know Ishida's not, he's not going to be the important part of this because they just set up Bach as being the big thing.
He's just going, just going undercover with the enemies.
Yeah.
And then Ichigo's just going to leave the room.
Ichigo's going to have his playing cards and he's going to go get glasses.
Yeah.
You know, this is essentially that Beelzebub arc.
I really saw this coming, though. Because remember...
Yeah, I mean, this is obvious.
Remember, like,
yeah,
the first
super
page,
obvious.
Ichigo was in it. In, like, a Quincy uniform.
Yeah.
Also, like... Okay, so he's clearly not going to be evil, right? I mean, this dude killed his...
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously. Even on this page, he doesn't look happy to be there.
But it's just... He's trying to make Ishida Sasuke, and it's not going to work.
I mean... The big problem is that we already know at worst this is going to end up with an Ichigo fight, at which point that he's going to turn good right afterwards.
Which is stupid and doesn't have any impact because
they
haven't been rivals at all in forever.
You know, Ichigo Orihime makes more sense.
You're right about Krillin, because they were about the same amount of dicks to each other when Krillin showed up.
Yeah.
He was rival for about 5 minutes, and then they were...
Then after Cell, Krillin's like, hey... I hate you. Let's fight.
Yeah, if it's just like one night, it's like, okay, Goku, it's time we finally settle this between us.
And then suddenly, if there was like Majin Krillin.
Oh, just disintegrates him. Or Goku disintegrates him, rather.
I like the idea of Majin Krillin because I'm imagining the M being made by connecting the dots on his head.
This is stupid. Like, we knew this from the get-go when he didn't go to the big fight everyone else went to, even though he was in the room.
Yeah.
That could have just been story reasons of, like, not having a Quincy there because then things get too complicated to explain in the moment.
It could have, but it, I mean...
It was obvious.
We all knew better.
Yeah. God. Let's just move on.
I don't know, this is pretty funny to laugh at.
To the best chapter of the week. Yeah, I said it.
To Naruto?
Yes.
And next week is going to be better, I think.
I really like this chapter.
I really like the name for it that the bad translation had on Manga Panda.
What was the name?
Was it What Can Fill a Hole or something like that?
What Can Fill a Hole?
That sounds like a Sesame Street song.
Yeah.
Is it dirt? It's dirt. Is it gravel? It's gravel.
So Kakashi and Obito are still staring down each other.
And Obito is just kind of standing there with a giant hole in his chest.
It's cool.
He really went pretty far to illustrate his point.
Yeah.
So Obito proves his mastery over illusions by producing his younger version and 12-year-old Rin, who is macking on Kakashi for some reason.
Which is kind of creepy.
Yeah.
Kind of creepy.
I mean, he could have at least been like, here's adult Rin as if she never died. We can live in this world with her. That would be less creepy than, here's little Rin. She's hitting on you.
She really likes you. And so Kakashi just Raikiris her.
Yes.
Just cuts them both in half.
Yep.
I love that he actually, I think Raikiring them was unnecessary. He probably could have just like swatted them away with his hand.
Or ignored them even a little.
Probably.
He just cuts them in half.
He's not really good at chakra management.
Yeah. He points out to Obito that, like, you know, these illusions aren't real, but you're still around, so man the fuck up.
Yeah, he's... Basically, the gist is he accuses Obito of playing make-believe, that he's, you know, so above everything.
Yes.
Yep.
He is the path Naruto could have taken, which is new and uncharted territory for Naruto villains.
Oh, yeah, that's never happened before.
Hell else?
So the Ten's tail starts getting even freakier.
Yeah. This thing looks weird. Basically unhinges its jaw and
barfs out an Odama bomb.
Yeah.
It barfs out.
Its face becomes like a flower skin thing.
Oh, or Refalcia.
Yeah, Refalcia.
I remember from Animal Crossing.
good cross knowledge there.
Yeah.
And everyone kind of realizes, hey, we can't block that. Maybe a wall of shinobi in front of Naruto is not enough to stop a giant mass of chakra.
Yeah, that thing is really huge. Just yet, I think. It's
and
like
Sakura,
the Ten Tails itself.
Yeah. Sakura points out that, hey, Naruto has been protecting you guys, and he's our comrade, and we're his comrades, and blah 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 Sakura bullshit.
I don't think Sakura has any place to lecture people on being dead weight.
Or talk about how important your comrades are.
So then Shikamaru hatches a clever plan.
And he uses Ino's mind hacks to get into Kisuchi-san of the Earth Village.
Yeah.
Big nose dude. Well, I guess they all have big noses pretty much.
Yeah, the Earth guys all do. And he says, hey, teach me a simple...
Dead simple, earth jutsu. Something to raise up a wall.
Not something that can stop the bomb, but if enough people do it.
So he learns that, then he uses Ino to pass that information. One character looks really, really a lot like Neji.
Yeah! Oh, that's not Neji. Holy shit.
I know.
No, Neji's dead.
Yeah, that's right. I bet he drew Neji and then realized later, wait.
No, he's wearing Sand Ninja gear.
Right, he drew that. He changed it later, went back.
Because it looks a lot like Neji.
Drew little pupils in there and said, okay, whew, it's enough not like Neji now.
So is it me, or has Inoshiko Cho grown more as a team and had more character development than kind of any other team?
Yeah, this is actually kind of a great plan and amazing that they're all working together like this. It's great.
I will not let you put down the character development of Kiba. Look at how much he's grown since the series started.
He defeated that one gate guy and was barely ever seen again.
Let's look at the fact list. His dog's bigger. that's pretty much it.
But
yeah, like, they had their whole Asuma thing, and then they have this thing, and I feel like they've worked together, and they had their parents die, and they had that big moment. Essentially, this manga's about them.
I kind of wonder if...
about them.
If they're the vessel for which Kishimoto... Like, I wonder if he wanted to do an arc where Kakashi gets killed, but they told him no, Kakashi is a really popular character. So he's like, all right, Asuma dies then.
Yeah, the Asuma arc was weird because, like, when Asuma wasn't really that important.
Yeah, he wasn't really much of a character, but then you just kind of had to assume, oh yeah, he was teaching them. So for them, it's like Kakashi died.
Yeah.
But the thing is, the emotional impact of the Asuma arc should have been Inoshikacho taking down the people who killed Asuma. Instead, it was just Shikamaru buries one and Naruto Rasengan's the other guy.
Well, Kakashi kills one like 10 times and then Naruto finishes it off.
Yeah. Basically, well, Ino and Choji were there for no reason.
To be fair, he chopped him up into little pieces and then buried him because he's immortal. So that was pretty cool.
Well, he did the same thing he does with every villain. He makes up a thing of exploding notes and then they walk into it.
I really want to see a half chapter of the revisit Hidon, what he's up to in that hole. He is absolutely still alive.
That was a really cool arc, though. Good.
Yeah. It was. It was so weird that Asuma was the big center point of that.
Remember way back at the beginning of Shippuden when it seemed like we were going to focus on other characters in each arc?
Yeah, and it was like, oh, this is the Team 7 arc, and then...
Right, and then the first it was, this is the Sakura arc.
I mean, even before, pre-Shippuden, it was very much more ninja diversity, more character diversity in general.
But
since then, it's basically been the Naruto, Sakura, Sasuke show.
Mostly,
especially Sasuke.
Mostly Sasuke, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm rubbing my fingers together because diversity does not make money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd think it would. Like, they'd have more figures and statues and stuff to sell.
Well, they still have those. And people have their, like, niche characters they like.
I think.
Like, was Neji nearly as popular or important before the Rescue Sasuke arc?
Yes.
He was Naruto's jerk rival for one arc.
But he was hot, so girls liked him.
Yeah. I think we're all underestimating just how popular Sasuke is in Japan. Because I think he's really popular.
I always think back to that one fan art image of somebody like, or like Sasuke standing behind Kishimoto and touching his chest and be like, yes, draw me like that.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering if anyone mailed in 1,500 votes for Sasuke in a character poll.
That's our test, our litmus test, yes. Sort of thing.
That's how we know if they have crazy fans.
I'm sure. I'm 100% sure.
So Kakashi keeps bitching out Obito.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it looks like the giant Biju Dama is going to break through all of their barriers.
Yeah, they have to call in B to try and stop it.
To, like, move it upwards.
Yeah.
Because B has been kind of not doing anything for a while because he needed to rest.
Yeah, he was hurt pretty bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then...
And then you see a... what's... The ninja throwing thing? Kunai.
Well, no, first the Biju Dama disappears.
Yes, yeah. It just whooshes out of existence.
And the kunai comes down with the lightning tag on it. And Fourth drops down and saying, am I late? And Naruto completely nonchalantly is like, nope, right on time. You'd figure there'd be like...
Super awesome ending.
It is a super awesome ending, yes.
It's great. But yeah, it seems a little weird that Naruto isn't more surprised.
He might have realized they were... I mean,
if anyone there knows the fourth chakra, it's probably him.
Yeah, I'm sure as soon as he popped back in, QP was like a bunch of my chakra just popped in over Konoha.
Probably going to be here soon.
That's either really bad or really good.
I do like that he was the first one back since he's canonically the fastest.
Yeah.
Well, he was probably just throwing that thing ahead and then teleporting to it all the time.
Yeah. But it's not technically a teleport, it's just light speed.
Yeah.
We did kind of skip the end of the Obito and Kakashi thing, of Obito's point basically being, like, he doesn't want to live in a world where you would let your comrades die and, like, make bad memories or something. And Kakashi's just like, I wouldn't trade these memories for the world.
And also, you're creating that world, you idiot.
Yeah.
Yep.
You just killed Neji. I mean, come on.
I mean, we have another guy that looks a lot like him, but it's not the same.
Yeah.
I mean, I had to have Guy tell me who Neji was.
Is Guy still there? He got laid out, didn't he?
Did he? I don't know.
I think during the initial fight with Obito and Madara, he got knocked out.
Oh, I haven't seen him in a while, so that's possible.
Yeah. Well, you know, he wouldn't be in this chapter because he can't do jutsu, so.
Yeah. He can do jutsu. It's Rock Lee that can't.
Oh, right.
Then
he just chooses not to.
Yeah. I would like to take issue with the Rock Lee video game that came out recently because he totally does jutsus in it.
What?
I think they changed it up for Shippuden, actually.
Yeah.
That, like, they, I remember us complaining about that.
Yeah, because he can do a sexy no jutsu that is horrifying.
Oh,
that
God.
Does sound horrifying.
Well, it's
that
a hot, it's a hot woman body, but it still has Rock Lee's head.
All right. So, thoughts, predictions on how shit will further go down?
Rest of the Hokages are coming, I'm guessing.
Yeah, Naruto's going to get the rest of the Kyuubi's chakra back, and
man,
then they're going to fight the giant weird monster thing.
Can you imagine if you took the last page of this chapter and showed it to someone 8 years ago? It blow their mind. I'm just like, yeah, here's the fourth
zombie
Hokage.
Fourth.
Well, you can't, like, if you didn't know it was a zombie, it's like, here's the fourth next to Naruto. Naruto's calling him dad, and they're going to fight together.
It does seem kind of alternate universe-y.
Yeah.
A little bit fanficky.
I hope the fourth just, like, does things that are completely, utterly impossible. Like, he just goes and kicks the ten tails in the face, and he goes flying back.
Well, I mean, he did just make, like, a continent-sized ball of energy disappear.
Yeah.
He teleported it, or yeah. Whatever he
does. I wonder where he teleported it.
To the moon! He blew up the moon!
There was that big building of the nation's leaders.
Tsunade's like, oh, I can't believe we survived. What's that in the sky?
I hope somehow Hokage Mountain blows up. And they have to rebuild it, but they can only make one head. So it ends up being Naruto's.
It ends up being Madara. There, happy god
twist ending.
Yeah, that'll be the happy ending. Madara ends up being in charge of everything.
Well, I mean, you
and
know what they're going to do,
good.
Right? They're going to destroy it. It's going to be rebuilt with Naruto and Sasuke, because Naruto's going to do the thing that Hashirama didn't. He'll make Sasuke his Hokage.
Ko-Hokage?
Yes.
Hokage?
His Ko-Kage. Because that's the whole only reason they showed that scene of Hashirama being like, no, we don't need Madara as Hokage.
But then Naruto's racist brother is going to show up.
Yeah, his racist brother from the other village that he never knew about.
Kushina's nephew.
Uh-huh.
Her other son. But yeah, the badass final panel.
Yes. Yeah. It made me love this chapter in its entirety.
Question is, how are they going to fuck it up?
I don't know. Sasuke's on his way, too.
Yeah, I remind you, he's back there as well.
The fourth is a harbinger of doom.
How much you want to bet Sakura's going to stop healing Naruto to go talk to Sasuke?
Naruto just slumps over.
Yeah, watch, we don't see Naruto for like 5 more chapters after this, because it's just all about Sasuke. And
everyone talking about how great he is.
Yeah.
Sasuke and the Hokage's going to show up, one-shot Madara, and then everyone's going to celebrate Sasuke the hero and totally forget that Naruto was just saving them.
Yeah. Seriously, though, I am kind of wondering how they're going to have Naruto and Sasuke fight now, since Sasuke isn't crazy anymore.
Oh, I think it's going to be they're going to get through what they need to get through, and then they're going to settle it among themselves.
Yes.
Later.
Ah.
You know, unfinished business, meet me at the waterfall. On top.
I always, like...
Yeah.
I wonder what the parallel is going to be for Naruto and Sasuke.
What if there's no parallel?
The parallel is
no.
Kakashi and Obito.
I reject your premise. Because they had the parallel for when Sasuke vanished. Because when Jiraiya went to confront Orochimaru and then lost.
Oh, I think Robin's right then is Obito's going to turn good and that'll be the parallel.
Yeah. Or he's going to have a deathbed thing and like Kakashi's going to have to kill him, but he'll do something before he dies.
Yeah. The Ten Tails is going to go out of control.
Also, Orochimaru's back there, and no one's really thought about that much.
He's fine. He's not evil anymore.
I would like to see someone freak out and attack him as soon as he shows up.
Yeah, he shows up, and everyone just says, ah, who's that?
Like oh,
no.
Shit, it's Orochimaru.
Oh, God.
I feel the third should be a little bit more upset that his entire life was wasted.
Yeah, probably.
And he killed himself to stop Orochimaru and like, whoops, whatever. still here.
Not only is Orochimaru back alive, but he has the soul of his arms again.
Yeah, you just know on the way there, they're talking, he's just like, so slow you down at all? And he's like, I made showers really difficult. I had to get Kabuto to help me.
Like, I was inside like five people.
Yeah.
It's like, I had to switch bodies earlier than I intended, you asshole.
Remember when it was like makeup? That it wasn't even like a Tenge transformation?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That he was just literally wearing makeup that looked like his face.
That rain ninja thing.
Yeah. Well, he must carry some with him all the time.
At some point in the preceding years, he actually figured that out to actually transform.
Ah.
Alright.
Alright.
On to Assassination Classroom.
Yes.
Yes.
Wherein Nagisa is holding a knife to someone's throat.
Yeah.
And looking like stoned while doing it.
Is this real life? So Kurosete wisely takes the knife away from him.
Yes. And then eats it.
Yeah. Also a wise decision.
Yes.
But yeah, Nagisa has beaten Takaoka. And everyone's sort of in a state of disbelief and congratulations.
Especially Takaoka in disbelief.
Yes. Takaoka does not seem to understand what's happening. As he's down on the floor and people are slapping Nagisa like, is that seriously you?
What yeah, I love that Mihara walks up and just hits him upside the head.
Yeah. His reaction is pretty great.
I didn't believe it was actually you.
Then all the girls give him a wink and a nudge.
Mm-hmm.
This has probably done wonders for Nagisa's social life.
Yes.
And everyone's pointing out that Nagisa's an excellently talented assassin.
Yes, he has the skills of an assassin, which is being inconspicuous.
Even Kurosuma seems kind of flabbergasted by all of this.
Yeah.
And eventually Takaoka gets back up and starts screaming and freaking out. And getting all sort of evil shade lines.
His face looks amazing.
And they all tell him, hey, shut up, you lost.
Kurosuma's teacher just now. Just kind of elbows him in the face.
Yes, Kurosuma is super badass.
Yeah, turns out.
I imagine the scene is to establish that he is way faster than anyone thinks he is.
Also stronger.
Yeah. He leapt in to save Nagisa.
The vibe has always been that if Kurosuma really wanted to, he might be able to take out Koro-sensei.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've always wondered why they don't, like, why he's not doing it.
Well, look, I think it's because he doesn't think he actually can.
Well, and Koro-sensei has the, you know, if they try to kill him with someone that's not one of the students, he's going to blow up the planet.
Oh yeah, that too.
Did they?
Yeah, doesn't he have the threat that, like, it has to be one of these students or something?
I assumed it could be one of the students, but anybody can get the money. That's why they hired Arena.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it can be anyone.
Well, I don't know. Maybe he doesn't care.
Yeah. So the board chairman shows up as Takaoka is freaking out, screaming about how he's not going to let Kurosuma take his job. And he's creepy as shit and, like, basically leans in to a semi-kiss on Takaoka. And there's very creepy and amazing imagery of, like, the caterpillar in his mind extending into Takaoka's mouth.
The centipede. It's way creepier.
Yeah. This kind of thing happened a lot in Neuro, but it was less metaphorical, shall we say.
And more actual centipedes going down people's throats.
Yeah.
To show you that he is essentially the devil.
Right. And then he writes his dismissal and shoves it in his mouth.
Yeah. Like, really, he force feeds it to him.
Yeah.
And Kurosuma realizes this is just a show of power.
Yeah. Since he's shown that he's the one in charge of Takaoka, that all the students have to listen to him and they can't rebel. And Kurosuma and Kurosete are under the same restraints. But yeah, they start talking about, is it wise to train Nagisa as an assassin? And Kurosete kind of doesn't really know.
I mean, if it's what he's meant to be.
Yeah. But it's also kind of, it's sort of railroading a young kid to train him as a murderer.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird thing.
And while Kuro, he, yeah.
And it's kind of like they're drawing the parallel with like the artist kid of like, this is something that would never normally be encouraged, but.
Yeah. Except this is murder.
Yeah.
Like, outside of Koro Sensei, where is that going to really be useful? Besides hitmanning, which, not the best thing to teach kids?
Yeah.
What happens after Koro Sensei's dead?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's where the manga's going to go eventually. Like, what would happen in a post-Koro Sensei world?
There'll be other crazy alien monsters, I bet.
Yeah, I'm guessing that's definitely the case.
So, my favorite gag here is that Koro Sensei is using this way of, like, showing how students develop differently and how you need to, like, a teacher decides how they're going to bloom with flowers. And, like, him being indecisive about the flowers. Then another panel later, he's just eaten all the flowers.
Yeah. Well, he's hungry, as we then see, because Karasuma is going to treat them all to candy.
Yeah, sweets. And Koro Sensei begs to come along. And they essentially audience cipher that. And, like, Koro Sensei, you didn't really do anything this entire arc. He's like, but I gave good advice and I told Karasuma about the stuff.
Things.
My favorite thing about that page is when he says he's going to take them to buy sweets, Irina slides in from the side and says, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Among the students.
Yeah. And then Koro Sensei follows them, bowing the whole time.
Yep. So good chapter.
Yeah.
Good arc in general, too.
Yeah.
Do you think this is the last we see of Takaoka?
Unless they bring him back for something.
Yeah, like, I don't think we're going to see him again.
I could see him having some sort of crazy revenge plan on Karasuma, but not anytime soon.
I did.
Yeah, Nagisa's stone cold killer.
I did enjoy the speech from Nagisa about how Koro Sensei is their teacher and Karasuma is their trainer, and there's no place for Takaoka. And then.
In Arena, I think.
What am I to you guys?
The bitch.
They're so mean to her.
Yeah.
I can tell you guys how much I enjoy that flower gag.
It was pretty great.
It's just so totally unnecessary for him to eat all the flowers.
Well, he's hungry. All he's had today is a knife.
For some reason, the knife thing weirds me out less.
Now, see, if they had used a Koro Sensei knife,
he would have died. So what do you think our next arc is going to be?
I think that transfer student is going to come back.
The one that has Koro Sensei hair?
Yeah.
I think we might go a few chapters of just adventures without story four.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Usually does sort of like some little one-off chapters between arcs. Well,
I mean, we'll probably be introduced to a student we haven't seen much of.
Like the guy with the glasses, we don't really have a chapter about him.
Well, that's his joke, because he barely talks.
Yeah.
Remember his like first line was like 20 chapters in? He showed up.
I wonder if they're going to do something with the chairman sometime soon.
They did seem to set him up more, like they've now made him an antagonist for Karasuma.
Yeah.
Koro-sensei.
Karasuma should kill him and hide his body.
Boy, that's weird. He got in a car accident and slit his throat. Huh.
Yeah.
Funny, this car wasn't even moving. It was parked.
That's funny. He doesn't even own a car. Huh.
Also, this wasn't a road. All right. On to One Piece. Wherein Caribou is...
Don't care.
I don't care.
I do like that...
I thought something was finally happening in this cover arc, but it's just more of him and the mistaken identity with the grandma, and it's... I thought we had established all of this already. I don't know what's
happening
anymore.
I like how the guy... His doppelganger's name is Kaburu.
Oh.
And his name's Caribou.
Yeah.
Okay, that's pretty good.
Yeah. But the old lady's begging him to stay because he can't go out there and fight again.
In a burning house.
Yes. Yeah. Well, she's crazy. Also, probably demented. So One Piece is boring.
What?
What?
No, yeah. Wasn't. B-Block is stupid. I hate... Nah.
Oh, come on.
It's kind of...
the King Punch. King Punch!
The King Punch was exactly what we thought it would be.
It was a punch from a king.
A punch from a king. And that weird guy with the incredibly long legs is beating everyone up.
Yeah,
You can sum this chapter up in maybe four sentences.
Fingers crossed. Barrier powers?
Yep. Barrier powers.
That's four words.
Frankie...
Oh, four sentences. Oh.
Yes.
And Frankie is going to find out probably what's actually going on in Dressrosa from that criminal dude.
We should actually go through it. We can't.
Okay, so everyone we thought was important lost.
Well, yeah. The person we thought was going to go through went through.
No, everyone we thought was important lost.
I thought Bartolomeo was important.
Yeah.
Well, not until last chapter. Important.
Yeah.
I was surprised that Ricky went out like he did.
Which one is he?
He's the masked dude that's old.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The guy we thought was Krios?
He might still be. I'm sure these guys aren't just going to disappear now that they're out of the tournament.
Yeah, they're probably going to disappear.
I don't know. The Marines are coming.
Well, that's true.
Stuff's going to go down.
So Bruce Lee guy turns on the king's troop.
Fish guy?
Yeah.
See ya.
No, I'm talking about the guy with the long legs.
Oh, that's right. He's not a fish. I keep thinking he's a fish man because he looks so weird, but he's just a long leg tribe.
He looks like they just combined Frankie and some other character.
Guy.
Yeah.
His legs.
Just gave him legs. Weird. Blue Gilly, that's his name.
Yeah.
And Bellamy's getting punked by Bartolomeo.
But he kind of figures out how to beat him, it seems like, before the king punch.
Well, he understands that he's deflecting force.
I just realized that Blue Gilly is really close to Bruce Lee in Japanese.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they made it. Kudos to Oda for making a Bruce Lee character that does not wear a yellow jumpsuit.
And have a black bowl cut.
Yeah. Because that's every manga.
Yeah.
So Eggman gets taken out.
The king's shield is broken, which is protecting everybody else from the king and not protecting the king.
Yeah, because then the king punches. And pretty much everyone gets knocked out of the ring, except for Bartolomeo.
Yes, who can activate a barrier by crossing his fingers.
Which is apparently a Japanese kids game thing.
Sure.
It's a taunt, apparently.
I could see that.
Yeah. He has the troll fruit, basically.
The berry, berry, no me.
And it seems like it works like we thought it did, that he can reflect the force back at the person.
Yeah.
Yes. But, meh. It's weird because I didn't enjoy almost any of B-Block, yet this ended so abruptly, I'm not sure I enjoyed the ending either.
So, the one thing I think, because Luffy's going to have to fight this guy, right?
And yeah,
probably.
He can block punches, and all Luffy knows is punches.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
The thing that I think was a hint is when Bellamy manages to grab Bartolomeo.
Yeah.
It's right before the king punches, so he can't do anything with it. But it seems like he can only block attacks. Like, you could, like, run up and get in close.
Yes.
Yeah, like if you grabbed him and threw him or something.
Yeah, if he, like, gum-gum guillotines him.
Right, and we figured that out last week, but it's going to take Luffy another chapter or two.
Well, it's going to be more than a couple chapters before the Battle Royale.
Yeah, but when they're actually fighting.
Yeah, yeah. So next chapter will actually be Luffy fighting, I'm guessing.
I assume after B-Block is C-Block?
Yes.
Yeah. And so Frankie is talking to the soldier that helped get them in. The little toy robber thing.
Yeah, the soldier one leg, SOL.
Yeah. And the soldier saying that they've also planned to blow up the factory. And Frankie says, just point me to it and I'll blow it up. The soldier's like, no, that's not going to work. We need to get everyone out out of the actual factory.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's my question. When he's saying that, is he thinking it to himself or is he actually saying it out loud?
They're whispering.
Yeah. Okay. So
whispering
he knows...
is sometimes done as thought balloon looking things.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so they plan to take down Doflamingo by taking down this factory.
So there's a revolution of doll people?
Well, I guess.
Okay.
He says, first let me share with you the tragic history of this country. It's...
So they're the Vox doll puli?
That's awful.
Yeah. Something
Vox,
like that.
Vox populi?
I'm guessing it's going to turn out that they were like...
Vox populi
they
is
like
better.
Used to be normal people and then they got turned into dolls by Doflamingo's power. Maybe.
I mean, obviously there was going to be some sort of hidden undercurrent of creepiness to this country, right?
Yeah, because like, everything is too normal.
Yes.
I don't think it's too normal. I mean, there's dull
people. It's too fantastical and too nice. Like, it's really called out the fact that something big just happened and nobody's acting.
I think the specific thing we referenced was Stepford Wives.
Yeah.
The island.
There's kind of nothing.
So
I don't want to say interesting about this stuff, but
you're
taking
not
the pause,
in the tragic history.
I think if they had done more action recently, it would be fine to take a breather now. But the action they've been giving us
more
has been pretty rote
chapter?
And boring. Pretty
Except
rote.
Action.
And, so it's rote and boring action.
So my problem. This is just kind of a boring tournament when it's just a big battle royale.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess
they,
that's true.
They should have. It should cut this number in by like a fourth.
I want to see like a big fucking 64-person grid to work. You
yeah,
know,
I was hoping it was going to be like a Dragon Ball style tournament too, but I guess this
take,
way is
yeah.
just faster.
It should just put everyone like no blocks, nothing, everyone in at once,
and then have it like slowly whittle down to the
yeah.
people that matter.
What
like
a great outdoor fight kind of thing?
Yeah, like
his reactions where he's just saying Bellamy, Bartolomeo. That's not
just,
interesting.
You're thinking like a Hunger Games thing, right, Robin? Just big open
no.
area.
No, I'm thinking a great outdoor fight kind of thing.
That's okay.
I'm thinking what was one of the Tenkaichi Budokais, I think it was 18 and Satan. Where it wasn't that like a huge battle royale?
No, it was like five people.
Oh. Well, something like that then. That should have been it, but
yeah,
oh, well.
Just when it's like when it's, like, too many people all fighting each other, it's boring because you don't get to, like, focus in on anything.
And plus, we don't really get to see a lot of, like, it would have been funny to see the King Punch hit Luffy in the face, and then Luffy's head just goes flying back a mile.
That would have been great. Yeah.
But instead, we see him just clear out a group of people that we don't really know or care about.
Yeah, that's true.
Basically, I want One Piece to find his footing soon.
Well, we're going to get the tragic history next week, so
yeah,
that'll be fun.
Bring the mood down a little bit.
Yeah.
Unless they don't actually do the tragic history.
Oh, come on. That's the last line of the chapter.
You know what would be funny if it's the tragic history, but they're all, like, super cute doll people.
But yeah.
So,
One Piece.
So you really think Vox Pupuli is better than Vox Dollpuli?
Yes.
Yes.
That's what I was going to workshop with you, but you hadn't read the chapter yet.
Then maybe I should have actually done that.
Yeah.
There's a thing going around Twitter this week, like, how do you think One Piece is going to end?
They're going to get on a spaceship, have space adventures.
My thing was, I think Luffy should, right before he's about to get to Gold Roger's treasure, just die of old age.
And then his straw hat gets carried off by the wind up to an island in West Blue where a child finds it on the beach and says he's going to be king of the pirates.
Done.
The end.
Oh, I don't know. I think they're going to go into space.
Space pirates.
Yeah.
They have laid some degree of foundation down for space travel.
I mean, there were already space pirates.
Some so-called groundwork.
Yeah,
yes.
In an Annals chapter.
Yeah.
And apparently, to get to space, all you have to do is fly.
Enel's
there's air in space.
Enel doesn't need air. He's a god.
Well, no, but how did the ship get there? It's just an airship.
He went really high. What?
If you go high enough, you can do anything, such as avoid nuclear bombs.
Yeah, if you get high enough, you can do anything.
Take the lesson, kids.
Tell your parents you want to get really high and go to space.
Yeah.
Tell them Jumpcast told you.
Send your complaint letters to ImranKhan@Kerbeard.com.
I like to think from the romance cast of somebody writing a comment, like, I think crazy people took over your podcast.
Yeah, okay.
Just about.
Yep, pretty much.
Alright. End it here?
Sure.
Alright.
Alright, this has been your Thursday, May 16th Jumpcast. Guys, thank you for coming.
Yep.
Thanks for having me.
We'll see you all next week.
Thanks for being here.
Oh, I always played Toad.
No one voted Mario.
You play Toad?
Yeah.
Toad was good on one level.
Toad is the Milhouse of Super Mario Bros. 2.
Hey, he's the underdog.